1 through 4, and we're going to look out for the next couple of weeks when a church prays together. And when a church prays together, we're going to see what God can do and the things that God does through the power of prayer and reading His Word, and how those reading His Word and the prayer go hand in hand. They're like twins with each other. You can't have one without the other. Amen. Y'all with me? Huh? Are y'all awake? Are y'all alive this morning? Are y'all excited in Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be in Acts chapter 6, as I said, and we'll talk about when the church prays together. Y'all notice that slide? Does it look familiar? Amen. What does that look like? It looks like us, isn't it? What are we doing? We're lined up, all of us together, lined up down the center, praying with one another, hands on one another, praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ and church that prays together, stays together. Importance about prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes who we are as individuals. It changes who we are as a corporate body of believers. It changes who we are as a church. And it changes a world and a nation if we get serious about praying to the Lord. Amen. Oh, and reading His Word. Will you go with me in prayer? Our Father and our God, we're excited, Lord. We're excited to be in Your ministry, God. We're excited to see what You have in store for us for 2014. And God, I pray that we can be sold out to Jesus, God, not only as this church, not only as Christians in here, not only as individuals in here, but God, across the world wide, if there's ever been a time that Christians need to stand up and be excited about what You've done, stand up, the Lord, and let our voices be heard. Father, take Your Word and read it more than we ever have. Be people that are fervent in prayer. God, it's now. It's now, the Lord. We look around and we see how this world is. We see what's going on all around us, the Lord, throughout churches across America. God, we need You. God, we need to be serious about Your business. God, we need to put You first in our life. God, we need to study Your Word. We need to be prayed up and studied up, God, because the enemy is real. Satan wants to destroy and conquer. But God, You came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. God, I pray that You fill this place with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, thank You for visiting with us this morning. God, Your presence has been so real here. And God, I pray that as has already been prayed, You defeat the devil, bind him up and cast him out. He's not welcome here. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives. God, I pray for Your Word. Your Word is special. God, Your Word is anointed. And God, I pray that over the reading of Your Word, that You will anoint Your Word this morning. That Your Word will go forward, God. That it would cut where it needs to cut. It appears where it needs to pierce. It will challenge us in our lives where we need to be challenged. God, Your Word is precious. Anoint it this morning. God, anoint me. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Use me, the Lord, to preach Your message and deliver Your Word that You've chose for us to do. And God, I want to pray, the Lord, that we know that the importance of prayer and a church that's praying together, God, and the priority of prayer, as we're going to see in Acts, the Lord, that we can take that to heart, that we can do better in reading Your Word for 2014. We can do better in praying to You in 2014 and be better all around stewards of what You've called us to do. God, we welcome You in this place. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 6, we'll look at that and look at verses 1 through 4. Acts 6, 1 through 4. It says this. It said, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians. And it's talking about the Hellenistic Jews here and against the Hebraic Jews. It said, against the Grecians and the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over the business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. When I think about these things and I think about these verses of Scripture and the slide that Marky showed when the church was together and praying together and laying hands on one another, my friend, listen to me. If we're going to do battle against Satan, if we're going to do a battle against the war that Satan has raised in this country, against churches across America, against pastors across the pulpits, against leaders, my friend, all over the world, then we better get busy about praying for the Lord. We better get busy about reading God's Word. Those two go hand in hand. It says continually, he said in that verse, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the Word of God. It's not something that we just do on a Sunday. It's not something that we just do on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday. My friend, we should give ourselves continually to prayer and to reading the Word of God every day of our life if we're going to do battle for the Lord. Oh, listen to me. Satan is real, my friends. And as I said in John 10:10, he says the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what Satan wants to do, and he's been doing a good job at it, my friend. But the Lord says, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Oh, listen to me. It's time, my friend, if there's ever been a time. 2014 needs to be the year for the Christians to rise up, to be sold out for Jesus, to be committed to the Lord, to be faithful in attendance, to be faithful in stewardship of every arena of our life. If there's ever been a time, my friend, that we need to leave our stamp on this world, it's now. It's now, my friend, that we need to leave it on there. You look at what the world is doing as a whole, my friend, and across the nation, and you will see the attack of Satan against the church. He's been attacked ever since, my friend, in heaven when God had to kick him out. Ever since Jesus was born, he's been at work and he's been busy trying to destroy the work of the Lord. My friend, listen, it's time we rise up. It's time we be accounted for. It's time we get committed about doing the things of the Lord. And my friend, it starts with the prayer. It starts with reading God's Word. It starts with prayer. It starts with communication to the Father. When we have communication to Him, my friend, He opens up our heart. He opens up our minds. He opens up our ears. And my friend, we receive the Word from Him. We receive from Him. He wants to communicate with us today. Oh, listen to me. If you're taking notes and you look back at these verses of Scripture, I would like to focus a little bit on verse 4. If you're taking notes, praying together was a priority for the apostles. Praying together was a priority for them. And my friend, it should be a priority for you and me today. Praying together as a family. Praying together as husband and wife. Praying together as parents and children. Praying together as a church. Praying together individually, my friend, and corporately is key. Oh, listen to me. We need to be a church that prays and thank the Lord. We are. But we need to be serious about what the Lord wants to do in your life, in my life, in the life of the church. Praying together was a priority of the apostles. Look back at verse 4. It points out to something significant. Listen to it again. It says, but we will give ourselves what? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Here these verses highlight something very important. My friend, it says continually, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. It's not just something we can come and get our fix on Sunday and Wednesday. My friend, it's something that we need to do as children of God, sold out Christians for the Lord, not only in this church, but in churches across America. It's time, my friend, we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Oh, listen to me. Those things are going to change. It's important things. It was important to the apostles in this ministry. The syntax of the sentence creates the possibility that the Word, that prayer and the Word are twins. They go hand in hand together, my friend. And hand in hand together, when we seek God through prayer and through His Word, God begins to work in our lives. God begins to work in the lives of others. He begins to work in the life of the church. And my friend, if we're serious about God's business, oh, He could change the world. my friend, but we got to get sold out for Jesus. We've got to live lives that are committed to Him. My friend, a lot of things in churches across America, including here, oh, listen, some things take priority over reading the Word. Take priority over prayer. Take priority over being faithfulness. My friends, we need to give it up to the Lord. And when we continually pray to Him and we're continually in His Word, God will set our priorities in line for Him. Not only in this church, but churches across America, my friends. Oh, listen, one of the most things that the devil uses a lot is getting you busy. If he can get you busy, my friend, and he can steal your time away, then he steals that time that we need to spend in prayer and that time we need to spend in the Word. Oh, listen, the disciples, they understood that, and they knew, my friend, that the power come from the Word and staying in the Word, and the power come from the prayer that was offered up. When you look back in Acts chapter 6 and every chapter preceding that, you will see the importance of prayer in all those chapters. You look at the whole entire book of Acts, and it has to do with praying, and it has to do with prayer. But the first 6 chapters, my friend, when you read them, you will see it over and over and over again where it says continually to prayer and ministry of the Word. And my friend, that early church took off. That early church was effective in what they did. Why? Because they continually prayed for one another and stayed in the Word of God. And when we do that, we'll be convicted to be sold out for the Lord. We'll be convicted to live a life for Him, a life that is pleasing to Him. My friend, when we sell out to the Lord, we will live those kind of lives. God will change our lives. He will change us from the inside out, my friends, and make us the shining light He desires to be and for us to be sold out. Oh, when I look at churches, I look across the churches across America, my friend, it seems to be that we're happy living in sin, that there's no conviction, my friends, in our life, no conviction about what we do and how we live and what we say and how we act and what we drink and what we put in our body and what we take out of our body, what we put on and take off. My friend, there's no conviction about it. Oh, it's lost the conviction. I can tell you how to bring the conviction back is when you give yourself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. My God will convict it. My God will convict you. He will convict me. Oh, listen to me. I know that when I sin in my own life, God is real, because the moment in time I do it, He goes, He's right here in the heart. And He goes loud and clear in my ear. And He convicts me the moment I do it to say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I've sinned against You. God, I pray You forgive me. Oh, listen to me. When you give yourself continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word, the Holy Spirit, you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life, and God's conviction is real. And He leads you, He guides you, and He directs you. He can do it in the life of this church, in the life of you, in the life of me, and the churches across America, if we would get busy about prayer and getting in God's Word. Oh, listen, it was important to these apostles in Acts. You go back, as I said, and you look at all the chapters and from 6 back, from 1 to 6, and you'll see the importance of that. I give you just a little taste of it in Acts 1:14. In Acts 1:14, he says, these all what? Continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication with what? Women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Oh, listen to me. What does that mean? He considered corporate prayer to be important. My friend, he considered including men, women, boys, and girls. He considered including everybody that there was into this prayer. He says, we, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. He goes on to say in Acts 2:42. In Acts 2:42, he says, and they continued steadfastly. He didn't say they just did it once. They just did it on Sunday. They just did it on Sunday morning. They just did it on Sunday night. They just did it on Wednesday. What did he say? He said, and they what? Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means in his word. And fellowship with one another. And breaking of the bread. And in what? Prayers. He goes on to say in Acts 3:1. He says, now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. The focus is on God's people praying together. The focus is on God's people studying His Word. My friend, He placed a high premium on the people of God to get in the Word, to study the Word, to continually be in prayer and reading the Word of God to do ministry. Oh, my friends, it's an important prayer. It's just as important as reading God's Word, teaching God's Word, preaching God's Word. Prayer is the key, and it's the power behind all that. Oh, listen to me. Prayer, my friend, changes things. It changes you. It changes me. It changes the dynamics. You look back through the Word of God and you'll see that the children of God strayed away from God often. But what got them back? Not only just the spanking of the Lord, but what got them back? The repentance of their heart. The repentance of the Lord, getting back and putting God number one in their life, putting God first in their life through prayer and reading the Word. Then God blessed and began to bless, and the church began to grow because the people began to grow, because the people were being sold out for the Lord, and they had Jesus as the number one priority in their life. My friend, and it continued in that prayer and in that Word. And my friend, it's my prayer and my hope this year for 2014 that we will take God serious, that we continue in His Word, we continue in prayer, my friend, to allow God to change things in our life. They considered guiding the corporate prayer life of the church just as critical, as I said, of preaching and teaching God's Word. Oh, listen, we need to pray. We need to communicate to the Father. That's the only way we'll defeat the devil. The only way we keep him at bay is when we're continually in His Word and in prayer. God will lead us, guide us, and show us the way. But my friend, it can't be one or two people. We got to do it as a body of Christ. We got to do it as a body of believers. We got to get sold out and serious about the work of the Lord. Sold out and serious. Oh, my friend, sold out for Him and studied up and prayed up. And then watch what the Lord will do. Watch what the Lord will do when we get sold out for Him. Oh, not only that, but number two, if you're taking notes, praying together was modeled and practiced by Christ. Praying together was modeled and practiced by Him. The disciples come to Jesus, and what did they ask Him? Lord, what? Amen. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Oh, listen to me. When we look at Matthew 7:7, when I study God's Word, I ask God all the time to reveal to me what You're saying in the Scripture, God. God, reveal to me what it is that I need to apply to my life. God, reveal to me in Your Word, what does this mean? What is this saying? And I got the Greek and the Hebrew New Study Testament, and it's in Greek, but I can't read it, but I click a button and it puts us in English, thank the Lord. Amen. But I put on there and I understand it and I do a word study. God, what does that mean? And God spoke to me. He gave me something special to give to you today. In Matthew 7:7, He says this, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." When we read that, we see you, right? We see you in that verse and immediately think it's singular. You. We immediately think, hey, it's singular. It's talking to me. It's talking to me as an individual. Oh, listen, it's not. In fact, it's a plural you. It's a plural you, meaning that Jesus is urging and gathers the believers to ask, seek, and knock. And Jesus deliberately emphasizes that significance of praying together. When you look back at the Greek and Hebrew, and you look at that verse of Scripture, Matthew 7:7, and you look up to you, it's saying it's not single, it's plural. It means Jesus was speaking to them, encouraging them as a body of believers, encouraging them in Christ that they are to come together corporately and trust God and pray to the Lord and continue to study His Word. My friend, it was plural in that. Oh, listen to me. In Matthew 18:19, and you see in verses 18, 19, and 20, He says, "And again I say unto you, that if what? Two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of My Father which is in heaven." He says in verse 20, "For where? two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Woo! Glory! And there's more two or three gathered here today. Amen. Amen. He's talking to the body of believers. He's talking to us corporately about coming together in prayer. And he said, where two or more are gathered, there he is. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Glory! Woo! Guess what? Guess what? Guess who's sitting right here in this little section between you? Amen. Guess who's sitting right here in this little section between you? Guess who's sitting right here? Guess. Who is it? Who's sitting right there, Nanny?
Jesus.
Woo! Glory. Brother John, who's sitting right there?
The Lord.
Who's sitting right there? Gail, Serena, who's sitting there? Who's sitting beside you, folks? Who's sitting with you? Jesus. When we gather together in His name. In His name, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother James. He's sitting here in the midst of us. He's with us. Amen. He's with us when we gather in His name. That's the reason we can get excited. That's the reason Adam says we can sing to the Lord. That's the reason he said we as Baptists, even we ain't like normal Baptists, praise the Lord. But we can raise our hand, amen. Can y'all raise your hand, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, your hands work. Did you see that? And God didn't put a lightning strike on you and tell you, put your hands down. You're in a Baptist church. You can't get excited. Amen. If I couldn't get excited, I would burst. I'm just telling you. And then y'all have some of me all over you. Whoo, that'd be a mess. Oh, listen. But we can sing to Him, we can praise to Him, and we can even, as Adam said, we can dance before the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't say that in a Baptist church, they'll stone you. But we can dance for the Lord. Amen. We can be excited about Him. Listen, we can get excited about all our favorite football teams and all the bowl games they played. We can get excited about NFL, NASCAR, and everything else. Why don't we try for 2014 to just get a little excited about Jesus? Amen. Get a little excited about Jesus. Oh, listen to me. The football game didn't save you. NASCAR didn't save you. They didn't take away your sins. There's only one thing that did that, and that's Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Oh, let's get excited about the Lord. He says, for where two or three are gathered there together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Oh, Jesus could have said, if anyone asks. Instead, he deliberately chose to emphasize a group in prayer. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Thank you, Lord, for being in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Amen. Thank you for showing up. Man, there's nothing more than I love to see Gail up here doing the signs that she does, singing these songs. Man, I get excited watching her. Y'all ever watch her sign sometime? Amen. I'm sitting there thinking, man, if I can just do that when I'm preaching, Lord, have mercy, my hands will be flying. I don't know how she keeps up with me. I don't know how Brother Bill keeps up with me. I don't know how Miss Cherry keeps up with me when they're signing. Oh, but listen, it's a beautiful thing to see when they do it for the Lord. It's exciting to see. It's a wonderful ministry they have. But being excited about the Lord and excited about Jesus and what He's done for us, oh, it brings a smile. It brings the Holy Spirit's presence in here. Oh, we get excited about a lot of things. But my friend, we should be excited that we know when we come in and two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is in the midst. He's sitting with you. He's beside you. The Holy Spirit is evident in here. Oh, that'll make a dead Baptist church want to shout and come alive. Amen. Oh, we need to take it out and take it to a world. Oh, listen, not only that, but number three, praying together in the New Testament. Praying together in the New Testament. The book of Acts records mighty works of God for and through His church in its early years. Oh, listen, you will see how the church came together and how they prayed. When I was studying God's Word, He revealed to me a lot of times in Acts chapter 1. And verse 13, and so we stop a little short of those verses, and we emphasize, and we always look at the 12 disciples were in the upper room, and the 12 disciples were praying, and they were ministering, but we fell short of reading all the verses that pertain to that. And sometimes the same thing we do with God's Word. We'll read this verse of Scripture and fell short to read the top and the bottom, and we take it out of context and use it. But I'm telling you, when I was studying this, y'all could have heard me shouting from Clay County all the way to Putnam County and St. Augustine, because God revealed something to me in these verses that He hasn't revealed to me before. I want you to look at them. I want you to look at them with me. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 and 15, my friend, there wasn't just 12 disciples in the upper room. There was about 120 gathered together. Let me share it with you. He says, and when they were coming, they went up into the upper room where their abode, both Peter and James was in there, and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and Simon and Judas, the brother of James. He goes on to say, they all what? Continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Look at verse 15. He said, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Glory! God was busy. It wasn't just about the 12 in the upper room. There was women up there. There was men up there. There was 120 up there that were continuing to get themselves in prayer and in the Word. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We read that, and sometimes we focus on the 12 in the upper room, but there was so much more than 12. There's so much more than 12. I wonder how many times we overlook things in the Scripture. How many times we don't see things. And when I read that, I said, wow. In those days, Peter stood up. Peter, being the man of God, Peter, being the pastor, stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. Oh, thank the Lord for what He's doing. Thank the Lord for His Word and revealing things to us. Oh, listen, it goes on when you look at that. The disciples prayed for wisdom in knowing who would replace Judas. The disciples prayed about everything in Acts 1:24. In Acts 1:24, He said, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two Thou hast chosen. Oh, listen to me, my friends. Anything we do for the Lord, choosing things of ministry and things of that nature, my friend, we need to be people of prayer, asking God, show us, Lord, who it is. Lead us, God, to where it needs to be. I think a lot of churches fell across America, my friend, because they don't pray and ask God to show them the way. Don't pray and ask God to reveal to them who it is that it should be. Oh, listen, we need to be people that pray, people that are of prayer. James was martyred, and Peter was imprisoned by Herod, and the church was fervently praying, and God miraculously delivered Peter from a cell in Acts 12:5. In Acts 12:5, Peter, again it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, listen to me, my friends. I tell you all the time, if you don't have anything else to pray, pray for me as your shepherd. Pray for me as your pastor. Listen to me. The church got behind Peter, and the church began to pray for him, and they prayed with him for him just once a day. They prayed for him one time, and that was it. They prayed for him when they thought he was in trouble. They prayed for him when they thought he was under attack. They prayed for him when he was down and out. What does it say they prayed for Peter? It said, but their prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Folks, it's the church that comes together that prays. It's the church that prays for leadership. It's the church that prays for the pastor. It's the church that prays for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the church that gets in God's word and continually reads it and continually prays that God's hand and anointing and blessings are over. It's a church that's sold out for Jesus. It's a church that's sold out for the Lord as individuals, corporately, sold out, continually, in prayer and ministering of the word that God uses, that can change a community, a state, a country, a nation, and a world. Amen. Oh, we need to get busy about God and busy about what he wants to do. Oh, listen to me, it was Paul and Silas praying together, and something miraculously happened in Acts chapter 16 and verses 19 and following. You see and you remember, my friend, what the power of prayer can do. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what troubles you're facing, my friend, but understand, prayer can change it all. Understand, prayer and giving yourself continually to the word of God can change things. Look with me. It said that when her master saw that the hope their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas was ministering. And you remember the soothsayer lady was there and she was telling fortunes and she was prophesying of the devil and things of that nature. And Paul and Silas seen her. And they went and they confronted her. And when they confronted her, she went and told others. But yet she got converted. And my friend, and God began to bless. And it says, and when her master saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into a marketplace unto the rulers. He goes on and he said, and they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Oh, listen, the city was troubled. Why? Because the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God was moving, my friend. And it said, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And he goes on, it said, and the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes off and commanded to beat them. And he says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He goes on to say, and having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Man, I guess they were afraid of these men of God. Let's cast them into prison and let's put their feet in stocks, man. They're troubling the city. You really need to hold these Christians back. And he said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas what? Prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. He goes on to say, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. How did that happen? It happened when they sang praises and prayed to the Lord, that God released their bonds and released their bondage and their chains from them. My friend, I don't know what you got you bound down. I don't know what's got you chained down today, but I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Savior lives, and he wants to release those chains and that bondage you're in today. He wants to do something miraculous in your life and in the life of the church if we just cut loose and let him go. If we just cut loose and let the Holy Spirit fill this place, my friend, ain't no telling what I happen around here. It said, and the keeper of the prison, awakened out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. He goes on to say, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all accounted for. He goes on and it says, then he called up for a light and he sprang and came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas. The power of prayer, the power of the word, the power of the gospel would cause Satan himself to tremble in his shoes, my friend. And he's got to fall down before the Lord. Said, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Oh, he said, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. He goes on and said, and they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and baptized he and all his straightway. He goes on and finishes up and says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, my friend, the power of prayer, the power of prayer. Go back to verse 25, Marky, of Acts 16. Verse 25, he says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas what? Prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. 26, he goes on to say, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. My friends, listen to me. I serve a powerful God. I serve a God that can change things. And he'll change it through prayer and continuously giving ourselves to the Word. Oh, listen, it's my prayer as your pastor for 2014, my friend, that we will take God's Word serious. We will take our life serious. We will be sold out for the Lord, sold out for Jesus, not letting anything get in our way, sold out and continuously giving ourselves in Word and in prayer. And my friend, if we get sold out for the Lord, just as what happened with Paul and Silas, when they spoke of the Lord and sang and prayed praises, it says the foundations were shaken. The earthquake came and the foundations were shaken. Oh, listen to me, my friend. You want to send the devil on the run and you want to shake up the foundation? You want to shake up the community? You want to shake up things for Christ? Get sold out for the Lord. Get sold out for Him. Get sold out for the Lord. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. Let Him be boss of your life. Lord means boss. He wants to be the boss of your life. That means He wants to be in the center of your life. He wants to be on the throne of your life. He wants to be Lord and boss of your life. Oh, listen, it's time that we give ourselves continually to prayer and to Word, my friend. And God will reveal to you the things that you need to do in your life. God will reveal to you those deep and dark secrets that you're hiding that will come forth. And He will reveal to you those things that you need to correct in your life. My friend, when you get right with the Lord and you have a speaking relationship with Him and you pray to the Father and you give yourself continually to the Word and prayer, it changes us, you, me, as individual. It changes us corporately as a body of Christ, and we begin to have an impact, my friend, that when Satan or any of his demons even think about stepping on this property, they tremble. They tremble, and the earth begins to shake. Oh, my friend, listen to me. I serve an earthquake foundation shaking God. Amen. My friend, and it's time that we pray that God will shake our foundation. God will shake the foundation of our life and put Him back where He needs to be. In our lives, in the churches across America's lives, and in the life of this country. We need to pray. Give ourselves continually to prayer and the Word and see if we can't shake some things up for Jesus.